The readings are from Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4, and Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and onto your gates.
Okay, so you're in this series. It's the second, I believe, in the series about loving your family. And this morning we're going to think about loving your children. And Anna popped round to mine for a cup of tea on Friday night, and I asked her to bring with her her Happy Families cards, okay? And I had an identical set of Happy Families cards to this when I was little as well. It says something about us being around the same age, I reckon. And they were from Oxfam, I think, weren't they? Is that right? Yeah, I think it says Oxfam on them. And I absolutely loved these Happy Families cards. I don't know if I might have some pictures of them on the PowerPoint in a moment, I think. But we're going to be thinking not necessarily about those kind of happy families, but about how we love our children this morning. And I thought we'd spend a couple of minutes just kind of waking up, thinking about families that we might know, or families that we might have seen on famous TV programs or films. So I'm going to show you a family, and you're going to see if you can guess either who the dad is, or who the mum is, or who the family is, or what show is it from, or what film is it from. Okay. Let's have a look. First one. Any ideas? Just shout them out. It's The Simpsons. I hate that program. I cannot stand it. My children are not allowed to watch that. They probably do in secret, but you know. The Simpsons. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Anyone know what the dad's called? Homer. You see, there are fans in the room. Okay, next one then. Who's that? Any ideas? Gru. It is Gru. So from the Minions films, that's Gru. He was a... Those films were very popular in our house when the kids were little. It's a different type of family, okay? So, you know, you've got the kind of typical nuclear family there on the left with the Simpsons. And then Gru, if you don't know the story, he adopts these three girls. He's an arch villain, but he turns good and he adopts these three little girls, and it kind of tracks their story a little bit of what happens to them after he adopts them, which is cool. Anybody know what where those twins come from? My girls probably might recognise that film. You've watched it quite a few times. The one on the left is a remake from the one on the right. Any ideas? No? Shall I tell you? Go on, say again. It is The Parent Trap. You're absolutely right. So I can't remember when the first one was made, but there was a later one made, maybe early 2000s or the 1990s. So this was twins... These were twins who were split at birth, and then they discovered one another on summer camp, and they got back together again, and then they got their parents together again. So a different type of family. And then final one. Who's that? Steptoe and Son. You're showing your age. Okay, I don't remember that at all. Look, it's in black and white. Telly was never in black and white when I was a little girl. Well, maybe for a little bit. Okay, so some different types of families. And I don't know what these families have taught us about loving our children, but I think it would be good for us to dig into the Word this morning and to think about how we love our children. So first of all, we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about this passage in Ephesians 6, which I absolutely loved that Matthew read that this morning, and that I was sitting next to his parents when he had to say the words, obey your parents. That was wonderful. absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? So this passage in Ephesians, you need to know that Paul was writing to the Roman city of Ephesus. And the Romans had a very particular way, a very particular view of raising children. So the fabric of Roman society was built around this particular view of raising children. And fathers had more power over their children than masters did over their slaves. Okay, so all the dads in the room are cheering at the moment and saying yes for Roman views of raising children. But their punishments were cruel and extreme, these Roman fathers. So if you were a naughty boy or girl and you had a Roman dad, he would either beat you, or he'd starve you, or he'd kill you. If you were lucky, you might get sold as a slave, all right? And Roman children were brought up alongside the other slave children in the family. So this was not a particularly friendly environment for children and young people living in the city of Ephesus, which was a Roman city. And so the reason Paul wrote his letter, really, to the Ephesians in that way, the reason that he included that message was because the Christian teaching about loving your children that began with Jesus saying, "Let the children come to me," was considered to be subversive. Jesus was reversing the normal view of children that was held, that children were property, that they were there to be owned by their parents, and that they were there to be ruled and not to be considered people in their own right. Jesus said, let's listen to them. And actually, even more than that, they've got spiritual capacity for themselves. He said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Okay, I haven't been clicking. Let's see what we've got. So we've got some twin responsibilities for children and parents in this passage. We've got this twin responsibility, which I can't read. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Okay, don't wind them up. Don't wind the kids up. Oh, I wonder how many mums have said that to dads over the years, or the other way around. But then children, you've got to obey your parents in the Lord, it says. You have to do what they ask you to do in the Lord. It tells us to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And then children, you are to honour your father and mother. And what this is teaching us is about human relationships. But human relationships in this kind of micro version of society that is the family. And Jesus, I think, taught us a lot about human relationships. In Philippians, Paul tells us that Jesus, although he was God, he made himself lower. He made himself nothing. He made himself a servant. And so that's really our example of how we should behave in our human relationships. Jesus taught us in his conduct, didn't he, that he always put other people above himself. You think about it. So many times when the crowds came and they were pressing in on him and really he needed to get away. He was tired. He'd had enough. But he stayed and he taught and he performed miracles and he healed people and he multiplied things. And then ultimately in his obedience to the cross, he showed us that sacrificial love that we are to give to one another. And really that's the crux of what Paul is explaining here in his Ephesians passage, that loving our families, parents loving their children, children following the godly instructions of their parents, it isn't about indulgence. It isn't about us giving kids what they want or about kids blindly obeying their parents for no reason. It's about loving each other because Christ first loved us and gave himself for us. This sermon hasn't come easily to me this week, and I was having a bit of a struggle to finish the other day, and then Anna and Lydia, independently of each other, came in and chatted to me and were asking me how it was going. And they managed to sum it up, as kids always do, perfectly, in one sentence. You know, I'd been sat there for hours with the laptop, really trying to get the words out, and I don't remember which of them it was that said this to me, but they said, we're all God's children, and God loves us. So we have to love our children like God loves us. Simple, isn't it? Out of the mouth of a teenager. We're all God's children and God loves us. So we have to love our children like God loves us. So I want us to spend a little bit of time in that passage in Deuteronomy that Matthew so beautifully read to us as well, to sort of unpack that idea a little bit about what it means to love our children, how God loves us. So we're now going to get serious, I've said, and we're going to think about what our priorities are in family life. So just one of those verses from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And what this verse teaches us is that we need to put God at the centre of family life. We need to put God at the centre of our own life to begin with, as individuals, but then also as families. Whether you've got children or not, what this teaches us is to make your home a place of worship. Make worshipping God a core value of your family, no matter who lives with you. And that can be trickier for some than it is for others. But as we reorientate our lives around putting God first and last and everything in between, I think we see a kind of realignment come into place, a transformation that transforms the family dynamic. You know, that doesn't have to mean singing Shine Jesus Shine around your kitchen table. But if that floats your boat, then, you know, you carry on. But we pray for opportunities. We ask God to show us how it could work in our families. Try stuff out. We spent a lot of time as a family doing this during the lockdowns. We found the videos, the church videos, quite tricky. Not a reflection on you, Tim, at all, but more on me, in that if I was taking part and I was leading something, we didn't particularly want to watch together. So it was quite awkward. You know, I'd be cringing in a corner. The kids would be absolutely killing themselves laughing in the other one, with Dan kind of in the middle trying to arbitrate. So we spent lots of time trying to think of different ways of worshipping God. And there's lots of things that you can do, aren't there? Light candles, say some prayers before tea, all sorts of different things. But those practical things that we do to worship God in the home and in those moments won't mean anything unless our hearts are orientated towards Jesus. Unless we've said that God is first and last and everything in between in our own hearts. And what I would encourage you to do this morning, you know, whether you're a parent of small, medium or older children or not a parent at all, just any children that you know, just pray. Pray for your kids. Pray and pray and pray and pray and pray until they come to know Jesus. And then actually don't stop, because they need it afterwards as well. You know, don't think that the opportunity is lost if you haven't already been doing that. No condemnation, just give it a go. Okay. Putting God at the centre of family life. So we're encouraged to keep these words that I'm commanding you in your hearts today. I wonder, what's the one thing that you remember your mum and dad or significant other adults talking about a lot when you were a child? Can you have a think? What do you remember your mum or dad talking about a lot? What did they waffle on about? What was their main thing that they chatted about? Go on. It's always your fault, yeah. There's that. I was thinking more along the lines of hobbies, Matt, but, you know, that's fine. You can, we can make it into a therapy session if you want to. Or you could just tell us about your dad's trains. And I think your dad talks a lot about trains. What did other people's parents talk about a lot when they were growing up? My dad talked a lot about rugby. It was always rugby. It was always a topic of conversation. What did your dad always talk about, Dan? Carpentry. There we go. He was a carpenter. Football. Yeah, I think Dan talks quite a lot about football, actually. Appreciating what you've got. Okay, yeah, an important message in life. I think that we talk about and we spend time on the things that we love, don't we? And if we put God at the centre of everything that we do and we fall in love with him, then that's the stuff that we're going to talk about. And that's what this passage in Deuteronomy is encouraging us to do, is that we make God and his word such a priority in family life that it's, you know, we're kind of looking at it when we're at home, we're looking at it when we're away, it says out on the road in the translation that Matt read, at night, in the morning, everything in between. We're making God's word a priority, putting scripture where we can see it, where we can touch it, if you like, where we can hear it, where we can get a hold of it, where we can talk about it. And I think sharing God's word with kids is a way to love them like God loves them. Sharing God's word with your children, your young people, any children or young people that you know, even if you're not a parent of small people anymore, it's a way to show them that God loves them. When they're little, it's easy, isn't it? There's colouring books, there's sticker books, there's children's Bibles, there's all sorts of different things. As they get older, it gets a bit trickier. I found a Bible app is a really useful thing because kids never say no to screen time. So if you know of any young teenagers that are not reading the Bible, then give their parents a clue. Have a go at downloading a Bible app. But whatever you do, don't let God's word stack down the priority list in your family. Make God's word a priority. Keep these words that I'm commanding you. It's a way to show your children that you love them. And then secondly, practicing prayer. Tim, you'll notice I nicked these points from your sermon last week. I wanted a bit of continuity, and I thought, well, absolutely. Those are the things that we need to be doing with our children as well as in the rest of family life. You know, we can pray. We can say that we can pray for all sorts of different people, can't we? But actually, the people that we live with, the children in our families or other family members, are people that we can easily pray for. Ephesians 6 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And I think finding a time to pray with your children and to pray for your children is another way to show them that God loves them. It's another way to show them that you love them. It shows them that relationship and communication with the Father is important to you, that it's a priority. You know, it's as much or even more of a priority than ringing Grandma on Sunday night, or whatever it is that you do as a regular thing. We need to make prayer in our homes as habitual and natural as brushing teeth. Not because it's a chore necessarily, but actually just because it's a way to bring life and health. You know, you probably wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth, would you? But it's easy to maybe go a day without praying with our children at home or other family members. We can do it in the morning before school. We can do it last thing at night before bed. We can do it before dinner as an act of thankfulness. We can do it after our meal when everyone's had an opportunity to share their day. Mealtimes in our house, you can imagine, are quite noisy. Everyone has an opportunity to talk about what's going on for them. And so sometimes it's at the end of dinner that we'll sit down together and say, okay, we're going to pray about these things now that you've raised and these things that you've shared with us. And, you know, I think it's easy for us to think, oh, well, we'll do that when they're a bit older. You know, we'll do it when they're more articulate and they can join in. I say start when they're tiny. You know, when they're first making those little baby cooey noises. That's just a way of them communicating, isn't it? Why not make that into a prayer? Why not say amen at the end of that, just like you would at the end of the teenage grunts that you get? Pray with them, pray for them at every possible opportunity and junction of life. And those moments around the dinner table, sharing God's word together, praying together, are also a great opportunity to share testimony, to tell the stories of our lives as well. And we can do this with our children, whether they're small or whether they're older and they're now coming back to the family home with their own kids. We can make it a time to tell our own stories of faith. You know, telling them, oh, this reminds me of a time when I did da 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 da, whatever it is. Or, do you know what happened to me today? Sometimes they might yawn and tell you they're a bit bored and they don't want to listen. But actually, 9 times out of 10, if you start talking about something exciting that God's doing in your life, they want to know about it. And it's, you know, it's a good time for them to share their stories of faith as well. And then finally, watch out. Because kids follow our example. I really hate that. That just makes me cringe every moment of every day. I hear my own words repeated back to me so regularly. And when I speak to my own children, I hear my mother's voice all the time. It's so depressing, isn't it? But I think really that's what that when you're at home, when you're away, when you lie down, when you go to bed, when you get up, whatever the translation of the Hebrew is. It's about the fact that kids are with you and they follow your example. They do what you do. Even though they try to stop themselves from doing that, you know, they try as best as they can not to be like mum or dad. Actually, a lot of the time, they do follow their example. I wonder what habits you see replicated in your own children now that you do, things that you do that you kind of wish that you hadn't let them do, like, I don't know, not taking your muddy boots off at the door or whatever it is. I mean, I know that's a really tame example. I'm sure you can think of much worse things than that. Let them see and experience your own faith. I read one of Pete Gregg's books at some point over the last couple of years. He writes a lot about prayer, and he was highlighting the example of Susanna Wesley. And Susanna Wesley had, I think it was 11 children, so she was mother of John Wesley. She had 11 children, and she used to pray at her kitchen table. That's it, Michael knows. She used to put her apron over her head, okay? So 11 children. I've got three girls, but sometimes I used to find when they were little, I used to find it a bit stressful to find a place to pray where I wouldn't be disturbed. And in the end, we put a chair in our kitchen and we called it the prayer chair. And I said, when I'm in that chair, I'm praying. You can be here, but you can't talk. It never worked. I'll be honest with you. They still jabbered at me. But actually, it was a good thing because they saw what it meant to have Christian faith. They saw what it meant to have relationship with Jesus. Sometimes they joined in, and at other times they didn't. They just kind of pottered around doing what they were doing. But Susanna Wesley with her apron over her head, you know, just giving a signal to the kids. This is important to me. This is my priority in life. This is what I'm going to do first and foremost. And you'll be amazed at how they copy. Okay. So some of you here don't have children this morning. Some of you have had children and they've grown up and they've moved away and they've maybe had their own children. And you're maybe thinking, beginning to think, well, why should we care? Because, you know, we've done all of that. You've still got teenagers in your house, Catherine. You still have to think about this stuff. Well, here's a few reasons why we should care. Remember, Jesus didn't have his own children. Okay, so that's the first reason why we should care. If Jesus welcomed children, if Jesus was hospitable to children, if Jesus saw that spiritual capacity in children, that they were holders of the kingdom of heaven, then we all need to make children our priority, don't we? We all need to care. And the other reason I think that we need to care is for what it says in Deuteronomy. So that your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God in all the days of your life. And really, it was like, in that passage, the benefits of keeping the commands, of following God, of putting him first in life, it was like the benefits came first, you know, so that your children's children may fear the Lord all the days of your life. And that you might multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. Loving children is about legacy. Loving children is about what's good for them now, what we sow into their young lives now, and we see the benefits of now. But it's also about what we see into the future. It's also about what we see for our children's children, for their futures, and their futures, and their futures, and further generations, much further on than our hearts and our minds could ever imagine. So if you're a parent of children this morning of any age whatsoever, just pop your hand in the air, actually, if you are a parent. If you've ever had children, if you've ever had children, I think that's nearly all the adults in this room have had children at some point or another. And then those that haven't, I know you're young people and you live in families. So you are children. So this message is as much for you. Maybe the question that we want to ask ourselves this morning, no matter how old our children are, is what am I sowing? What legacy am I putting into my children's lives that I want to see them living out now and into the future? What can I be doing? What can I be saying? How can I be praying that sows that legacy of putting God first? So that we can see multiplication in a land flowing with milk and honey. For the Israelites, that was a physical place. For us, it's about seeing the kingdom of God here on earth, in Bluntisham, in Barnwell, in Marley, across the world. I wonder what God is saying to you this morning about loving children. I wonder what he's saying to you personally about your own children. I wonder what he's saying to you as Bluntisham Baptist Church about loving children. What's he saying about how parents are supported in this community? what's he saying about family life in this community? We're just going to take a quiet moment to think about that and to ask God to speak to us and maybe highlight one particular thing that we might want to think about in the week. And then I'm going to introduce our final song. So let's have a moment to be quiet. Father, we thank you for children. We thank you for young people. We thank you for the families that you have placed us in, for the children that we've had, for the children that are yet to be born in our families, maybe grandchildren or other family members that are yet to come along. We thank you that you love each one. We thank you that you love us, and that because of that, we can love others. And Lord, as we've opened your word this morning and we've heard about putting you first in our family life, in the way that we love our children, will you help us to hear your voice today and in the coming week and in the coming months? Show us, Lord, how you want us to love, whether that's children that are in our family or children that we know of, that we're connected to. Help us, Lord, to play our part and to be salt and light in that way wherever we are. Amen.